All right, welcome back in. Is if you're tuning in at 4 p.m., guess what? We've already knocked off a segment after Clemson gets a 15-point win, 64-49 over the Georgia Bulldogs in the semifinals of the Cayman Island Classic, and they move on to a 7:30 championship matchup tomorrow night against the winner of Creighton and Georgia State. So, Kevin Thomas, my former intern here, and now working downstairs, and God, at times I feel like I report to you now when things come. So, it's Turkey Week. We wanted to have some fun and get into some conversation with rivalries and things of that nature. But I know you're a big Braves fan. Now, we can't fix your Falcons love because y'all are toast. I think the Panthers are toast now, is at least trying to keep up with the New Orleans Saints at, 9-1. But, Johnny Venters of the Atlanta Braves was just named 2018 National League Comeback Player of the Year.
That's awesome. You know, that guy was dominant 3-4 years ago. Had a couple arm surgeries, like I think 2-3-4 different ones he had to have, and now he's back. And that sinker ball is nasty, man. He is one of the best left-handed relievers in the league. Great to see him get back to that position.
Well, I puked in my mouth a little bit the other night when I saw an article about why the Atlanta Braves were the best landing spot for Bryce Harper here. I keep here in Philadelphia before all said and done, and I don't know. I just don't think the Braves will ever pull off a $300 million contract for Bryce Harper. But last night you watched it. What did you make of the 54-51 win over the LA Rams over the Kansas City Chiefs last night? Because that 105-point outburst, topped by 10 points, the long-standing 95-point total by the Packers and the Redskins in 1983. It feels like Big 12 football is making its way to the NFL.
I thought it was awesome. You know, those are two young quarterbacks, two gunslingers, really throw it around. You know, and one thing, Serge, that I wanted to mention, too, obviously it was a huge offensive outscoring, you know, night, but the defenses had big plays, too. Both defenses scored touchdowns. I mean, so while they gave up 40, 50 points, whatever it was, I mean, the Rams had two touchdowns. The Chiefs had a touchdown. Everybody was just making big plays back and forth. Like, it was a haymaker of a fight, for sure.
I just have one question for you, Serge. Are you not entertained?
Absolutely.
It was great.
It was great because, I had my laptop out in front of me. I'm watching Kevin McGuire, our buddy with NBCSports.com, when L.A. goes up 40-30, go, well, that was fun while it lasted. And then, boom, defensive touchdown, another quick touchdown. Kansas City's got a 44-40 lead. And it just went back and forth. And, you know, you felt like there with, what, a minute 20 left on the clock when L.A. scored to go up 54-50. Crap, they left too much time on the clock. But as you mentioned, three defensive touchdowns last night in this ballgame. But here's what I found even more amazing. All right, we'll go through some of the numbers. And if you want to give us your opinion at 844-GSP-ESPN, go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and tell Diesel, open up the phone line since we're already a segment into it. But here's the deal. Never in an NFL game, you think of all the games played in NFL history, had a game gone to halftime tied at 23. And I was just like, you know, it wasn't, I would think somewhere along the lines when Dan Marino or, you know, a shot, one other game would have been tied at 23 at half. Last night was the first game in NFL history that's ever gone to halftime tied at 23. And don't ask me why. That just kind of caught my attention because I didn't think that was some wacky, crazy score. You know, 19-19, I'd have a better shot at it. But, you know, the most points combined, 54, the most ever on Monday Night Football history. And it's just absolutely crazy, but it was entertaining.
Yeah, a lot of fun. What's so crazy about that 23-23 score is that, you know, both teams missed extra points. How often do you see that? Mm-hmm. You know, KC missing one right there at the end to leave it tied. You know, Zerline, one of the best kickers in the league, earlier missed one for the Rams. So it's just crazy how often you see those new scores pop up. And like you said, a 23 number doesn't seem that odd. But I guess, I mean, apparently it is.
Like I said, you know, it's the little things in life that entertain me, and caught that one before we go to the phone lines. A couple other things. That is what the Chiefs' second second loss of the season, both that they've scored 40 points or more in.
Unbelievable.
There were six TD passes thrown by Patrick Mahomes in a game for the second time this season. Since the AFL-NFL merger, it was just the fifth time that opposing teams had one or fewer losses in week 11 or later. There were four-quarter lead changes. I mean, there was a little bit of everything minus defense. And then, like you said, you have to stop and go, wait a second. Aaron Donald, you know, he made plays. He, the linebacker for the Rams, two touchdowns and all. So there were defensive plays made out there after all. Let's go to the phone lines. Delvin wants to talk NFL. Delvin, hope you're having a good afternoon, my friend.
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm getting a day closer to pigging out on Thursday. That to me, it's one of the best days of the year.
Yeah. Yo, talk about the game last night, man. It was crazy because edging my seat, man, because I was trying to go through something. I'm saying, man, I'm going to go to kitchen restaurant to get something. This thing, I'll come back to my school. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to wait. I'm ready to go to commercial. By the time I get back to commercial, somebody on school again. I'm like, dude, oh, man, I can't move around because they keep going back and forth to school.
You know, I think that's the future of the NFL because, you know, right now all the rules are going with the offense. You know, we don't know what targeting is, either the NFL or the collegiate level. But, you know, the only thing I missed last night, like I said, tackling is Will Muschamp made the comment after the Florida game. Tackling can be a desire issue, and at times I didn't really see a desire for these guys to really go out there and hit somebody.
Yeah, and going to college football, what y'all think about the two Arkansas players get suspended for flirting with some girls on the other team? I never heard of that before.
Yeah, and thank you very much, Delvin. You have a good day. We talked about that yesterday. You're getting drubbed at Mississippi State, all right? Mississippi State, whatever they were wearing, get off my lawn, Diesel, was god-awful on Saturday, all right? But here you are getting beat. The fans at Arkansas are saying this is potentially the worst Arkansas team ever. All right, 2-9 at this point, haven't really been competitive. And Kevin Thomas, I don't know if you saw, but a couple of defensive starters for Arkansas before halftime. You know, the marching bands back there behind the bench and all as they're getting ready. Decide to start flirting with some of the Mississippi State dance team members. Why the hell not? You're down 17-6 on your way to another loss. Why not try to get a phone number? Why not try to get a date out of it? Really?
Yeah, I mean, might as well, you know, right? Time and place. You got to take advantage of opportunities.
What's the message from Chad Morse here? Obviously, focus on the game, everything else. I get it. And, but still, I mean, this ranks up. I actually sent a tweet that I actually incorporated at Big 12 conference in last night going, we literally made fun of you making the Texas defensive end apologize on the air. Should I go sit in the corner for 5 minutes? This all comes back to what I've been preaching here for the last 6 months. It is the wussification of America going on right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, it's quite a story that you don't really expect to see. it's such a weird thing to happen. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's probably plenty of times where the players talk to the cheerleaders before the game or during the game. And I wonder what happened this time to make it stand out, if they were just being too obvious about it. You know, I don't know what it is, but...
hey, remember, just like most everywhere else in life right now, you're under a video camera somewhere, digital or not. Just like these guys on the sidelines, guess what? There's 6-7 cameras out there that they cut up film with in the post game, and if you get caught jawing and or hitting on the dance team members, it's probably going to show up, no doubt about it.
Now, what I got to know is, I mean, do any of them get a number? Like, do we have any updates?
Exactly. I mean,
they slide in some DMs over there. What happened?
Those are the things that we need. Those are the final things. Because again, I literally laughed out loud yesterday. I don't know. I hope you didn't hear it, but we kind of did our wimpy. We read the entire apology from the Texas defensive end. And did it in the biggest wimp voice that we could do. Oh, sport. You know what? It was funny. What time is it? Oh, 11:12, and OU still sucks? Hey, man, come on. Yates wants to get in with us. Yates, I hope you're having a good Tuesday, my friend.
Doing good. Now, Sturge, you know, I don't think I've ever – disagree with you on anything.
All right.
But this one thing, we disagree.
Wait, now, you know, which one?
I'm talking about the Arkansas players trying to get some digits before the game from Mississippi State.
Now, it before the game? Because I thought it was, like, right before halftime. Now, that might change things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I thought it was before the game. Oh. Now, it might have been, but, okay. You know, I've seen some of I've got a good friend who was a diehard Woo Suey Pig backer. Show the board. Yeah.
If it was before the game, then I was just sitting there thinking, I've been on enough sidelines for football games shooting my camera back in the day that, you know, you get both bands down on the field right behind the benches and all. So I figured, hey, you were over there. Now, if they went and sought him out before the game, then my question is, where the hell's your mind going into kickoff?
Right. That's the thing. And just reading, you know, I've been on Arkansas's board, and, you know, it's kind of probably about 70-30. The ones who are ticked off about it, they're just as ticked off about Chad Morris's losing season, you know, plain and simple. But, I mean, obviously these guys did not have any focus on the game. You know, the rest of their teammates obviously couldn't depend on them.
Right.
They're as young men are supposed to be. I don't know, maybe if they're still kids, if they were trying to get digits before the game. But, you know, I just think that I like Morris. I hope he does great out there. I just don't think that Arkansas they're not there yet.
Oh,
How many years has he been there now?
No, this was his first year. You're talking about a complete and total overhaul because, you know, back in the day when they brought Brett Bielema in from Wisconsin, I was thinking, wow, what a sneaky good hire. And, of course, you know, Bielema tried to build his Big Ten with the big offensive line. You know, right now this year, Chad Morris has been playing the kind of the run-and-shoot, fast-paced offense with guys that weren't recruited to play that style of ball. But, you know, my biggest problem from what I saw at times when I watched the replay the other night, you know what, you can coach focus, you can coach care, and it didn't seem like the Arkansas players had either A, focus, or B, a whole lot of care.
Right, and these are not, like you said, these are not his players.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they will be patient enough with him, and I know we live in a right now world that, you know, if a guy hasn't been successful in 2 years, they get him out. But, you know, I remind Clemson fans, don't forget, y'all were talking about getting rid of Dabo how many years ago? And now look at him.
Yeah.
So I hope they will be patient with Chad Morris and that he can turn that program around and be successful.
All right. Great phone call, Yates. Yep. Always appreciate you get in with us tomorrow. And here's the deal. Again, Brett Bielema, big, slow offensive lineman with power running backs. And you know what? That's not what Chad Morris is going to do. But I'd also say you had to pay such a high buyout with Brett Bielema. That's why you had to go hire Morris on the cheap at $2.5 million a year. We'll come back. We'll take Patrick's phone call, and you can get in as well. 844-GSP, ESPN, Kevin Thomas, former intern, now works downstairs live with us here in studio on this Tuesday. All right, welcome back in. It is a Tuesday edition. Feels like a Thursday because we got college football tonight. You got two MAC-tastic games, MAC-tion games, as Diesel makes me get correctly. And then, of course, Thursday, you got three NFL games topped off by your Atlanta Falcons getting smoked down in New Orleans Thursday night at 8:25. And, of course, you got a couple of college football games on Thursday for Thanksgiving, Colorado State at Air Force and, of course, Mississippi State at Ole Miss. But it's 7 p.m. in Death Valley. It is Clemson, South Carolina getting together. Bob wants to talk rivalry. Bob, hope you're having a good afternoon.
Hey, Sturge, long time no talk, my
brother.
No
kidding, man. We were just, I hope your ears were burning here during the break.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a little busy. But hey, let me bring something up to you. This makes absolutely no sense to me. I'm a few years older. I'm 54, so I'm a few years older than you. But I remember, you know, growing up, coming through high school, college, whatever, this weekend right here was, I mean, this week,
was the week of smack talk. Mm-hmm. No matter who's better, whatever, this is the week of smack talk. So I'm hearing none. I hadn't heard none in a while. So I'm thinking Dabo has done a great job. He just beat them down. So now, being a total Clemson, you know I'm a Clemson homer. Mm-hmm. But the only stuff I get arguments about, and I just love to go back and forth with it, and you're one of them, the Alabama guys. I mean, we go back and forth, and they'll tell you, well, you're the only one that could beat us, but we don't think that's going to happen. I don't understand it, because Carolina has won games they should not have won. They can score, no question. They can't stop up a sink, but they can score. I mean, come on, Carolina. Let's make this thing. I mean, Muschamp ain't coming to Clemson thinking they're going to lose. I mean, where's all the excitement that used to be there 15 years ago?
Well, first of all, I've got an answer for you on that. Kevin, when you were in school at Clemson, this game was played the Saturday before Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? So everybody was serious about it. I think Thanksgiving week throws a little curveball into things, Bob, because you know what? We all have family members on both sides of the rivalry. So until at least you deal with them for Turkey Day on Thursday, you really don't want to upset the apple cart. So it kind of shrinks things down just into Friday, if you will. So like I said, every year growing up for me, Clemson, South Carolina was always the week before Thanksgiving.
But that didn't stop. You've got Carolina people, and you know this, Sturge. You know this. When Holtz was there, they didn't even win a game, and they filled the stadiums, mm-hmm. at least till halftime. But, I mean, those fans, give them credit, are the greatest in the world. They are always there. But it's like, to me, they got the wind knocked out of them. And they all walk around going, we got no shot. And maybe they don't. I don't know. But I know this. When Carolina, and keep in mind, it ain't that long ago, they won 5 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
When Carolina is playing good and everybody's in it, Clemson's in it, what a wonderful week this week is. And on the radio stations, talk shows, what have you, it's always lip smack, this, that, whatever. And you're not hearing it anymore. And I don't understand why, because I don't think Muschamp's that far away. Just my opinion. I don't think he's that far away from having a good football team.
All right, Bob, I appreciate the phone call. Well, you know what? This is what you call cyclical. You know, Clemson fans, deep down, they hated things because they couldn't talk any smack during that 5-game winning streak. It had never happened in their, in all of us, in all of our histories, if you will. You know, me being 50 years old. Now you've seen this pendulum swing back with 4 wins by Clemson, including a couple of blowouts. And, you know, my South Carolina buddies, I'm with you. Know, their biggest argument right now, Kevin, when it comes to knocking on Clemson is, well, it comes down to strength of schedule. And like Dabo Swinney said earlier today, you know, it's not like we're playing some vocational schools on the weekend, you know, things of that nature. I'm sorry. You know, they hit it Syracuse just like they hit it Ole Miss, you know what I mean? And football's a physical game, and I think that is one of the more worthless arguments out there, because Clemson can't be held responsible for this. The ACC will never be as good year in, year out as the Southeastern Conference in football due to the fact they've got 4 private schools in Georgia Tech.
Yeah, just don't have the money in those programs. And I mean, they don't want to be, you know, as good as a lot of these SEC teams do. But, you know, back to that smack talk thing, you know, it's crazy. Those 5 years where Carolina won in a row, if the game was in Clemson, all of my Carolina fans were coming to that game, no matter mm-hmm. if it was up here in Columbia, whatever. Now, the last couple of years, I'll call my friends, hey, can I come this weekend to the game? They're not coming. Yeah, I think they just, I don't know why they feel this way, but they feel like they've got no shot this weekend. A lot of them.
Well,
do.
I think also, you know, it's one thing to be beaten by your rival. Diesel's another thing to watch them go on and be playing for national championships in the college football playoff. And you sit there and you wonder, hey, we just beat these guys 5 years in a row. Why can't this be us?
Well, I mean, if you don't mind me talking a little smack, maybe it's because Carolina fans don't have any heart. Maybe they lost their heart. They don't have it. Where is it? Carolina fans used to have heart in this rivalry, and well, it's gone.
Listen, you know, Spurrier he used to drive that a little bit, you know, with the digs and all. Will Muschamp doesn't necessarily – Will Muschamp's intense in other ways, you know what I mean? But he's not going to dig at Clemson right now. Why? Because he hadn't beaten them.
What's he going to say?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think a lot of that confidence that I saw from my Garnet and Black brethren back then came from the fact that, hey, Spurrier's going to talk it. Guess what? We'll do it as well.
Yeah, that's got to play a part of it. And like you said, you know, back then, I think the Clemson fans, obviously it hurt to lose those five games in a row. But at the same time, we're still winning 10 games a year. We're still going to BCS games back then, winning Orange Bowls. You know, now during the middle of this streak, Carolina's going to play. I mean, what are they playing in these days? Like the bowl.
Well, the
out
Gator
and,
Bowl wants them, if they get seven wins versus Akron, you know, let's say, you know, Clemson is the number two team in the country and they handle their business at home on Saturday night, and this is a rivalry game. I mean, we made the comment yesterday, Kevin. If I'm Will Muschamp, if I'm Jake Bentley, if I'm South Carolina, I come in here with the mentality of the movie The Waterboy, and, hey, you can't hold anything back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take your shot. You know,
this is their Super Bowl. It really is.
You get, you know, here's the thing. To beat them, for South Carolina to beat Clemson on Saturday, they got to outscore them.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't – we haven't seen that. You know what I mean? Well, Clemson defense hasn't given up a touchdown in competitive action since September. But you know what? This is why they play the game. This is why last night I started giggling when it was 40-30 and one of our good friends who, you know, national college football writer for NBC Sports goes, "Up, oh, this thing's over." 3 minutes later, it wasn't over. There were two touchdowns, one defensive, one offensive, and, of course, the rest is history. So when we come back, what are some of the best rivalries in college football? Because I maintain, you see where game day is this weekend, Michigan, Ohio State. That will never, in my opinion, be as intense as Georgia, Georgia Tech. What's the name of that rivalry? Good old-fashioned hate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In-state rivalries, I'm sorry, to me, they're more intense than border wars, and that's what Ohio State-Michigan is, and you can call and tell me if I'm wrong, but like I said, you know, you don't have to live with them all year. You don't have to you don't focus on them 365 days a year as you do when it's Alabama, Auburn in-state, Clemson, South Carolina, or God forbid, even though it was a terrible game last week, Southern Cal, UCLA. You don't have to, when you don't live in the same state, deal with these people every single day. So while that's a good rivalry game, to me, it doesn't have the intensity of what an in-state rivalry makes up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up going to school, like, with kids who love Carolina. Like, I've got family members who love Carolina. It's, like you said, it's – I mean, you know just as many Carolina fans as you do Clemson fans here in the state, no matter what side you're on. While it, kind of more of a different state thing, like the Michigan-Ohio State, you may not know as many Ohio State fans or as many Michigan fans, but, you know, here in this state, it's split half and half, like, you know, just as many on both sides. So it's just – You work with them, you know, you live with them, they're your family, your friends. I mean, you don't want to lose those guys, you know?
Mm-mm. Show me somebody that likes to lose, and I'll show you a loser. However, when we come back, we'll take your opinions. 844-GSP-ESPN. What are the best rivalry games out there? And I'm sorry, any list that doesn't have Army-Navy at the top of it is just null and void, in my opinion, and I get it. That's not an in-state rivalry. That's just something completely and totally different. So as y'all all already know, it's press conference day all over college football, and tweets you don't want to read from your buddy, Dave Gorin, the sideline reporter at Wake Forest. So, that Caesar salad we all ate at today's Wake Forest football news conference, .. Man, what, isn't there like some kind of E. coli outbreak with romaine lettuce or something going on right now? So, I'm taking that must have hit the stomachs of some people at that press conference like a ton of bricks.
Why is it always romaine? You know, nothing bad ever happens to iceberg.
Yeah, well, you can't go wrong with iceberg. So,
I mean, there's no nutritional value, but you can
taste good, though, right?
Yeah.
Dude, only if you cover it in ranch.
That's what I meant.
All right. You can follow Diesel on Twitter, and he explained why. He is Sports Talk's most decent producer. Kevin, you have a whole new perspective on this after the break, right?
Yeah, man. You know, this guy is really on top of stuff.
At Diesel on Radio, you can follow you on Twitter,
K_Mark10.
Yep.
I'm busy putting up tweets about Def Leppard frontman Joe Elliott.
Oh, pour some sugar on me, baby. You like that response? Did I
one
get it
lump
right?
Or two?
Did I even get the lyrics right?
That's the question, Kevin. One lump or two?
Yeah. Yeah. So
bigger's better, right?
Hey, listen, speaking of idiots, all right? Listen, we call it like we see it from time to time. Did y'all see what happened in Nashville? Every once in a while, I have a get off my lawn moment or a I can't believe this crap happened in life moment here on the show, and it doesn't have to be sport related, and this isn't. A man was on his way to work in the Nashville area this morning, 28 years at the Nissan plant in Smyrna, Tennessee. Driving to work this morning, some jackass throws a chunk of concrete off an overpass. It lands and busts right through the man's window and kills him in a car wreck. If you have the thought process to go, there's a chunk of concrete. I wonder what I should do with it. And the thought becomes, let's throw it into traffic over. You don't need to breathe the same air that I do.
That's
all I got to say. I mean, there's no, it was a bad decision. That's evil. And to me, that's not it's a momentary lapse of reason kind of thing. That's just evil. And I get everybody makes bad decisions from time to time, but that man was going to work. 28 years at the Nissan plant in Smyrna, Tennessee. Come on, people. Grow up. Now, we say that as we get into rivalry week. Obviously, your favorite rivalry is going to be the Clemson-South Carolina game because that's what you grew up in, Kevin Thomas. Number two, it's a lot more fun to be on the north side of the numbers as you are as a Clemson grad. The Tigers lead the series, 69 wins, 42 losses, and 4 ties. But the number that blows my mind when it comes to the Clemson-South Carolina rivalry at home, Clemson's 18 wins, 10 losses, 1 tie. On the road, 51 wins, 32 losses, 3 ties. For people that don't know, you know, they considered every big Thursday game back in the day a road game for the Clemson Tigers. It's amazing that you look at Clemson's up that much in the series, having played that many times in Columbia.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate for the Tigers to have to go on the road every time back in the day. But like you said, they've handled it pretty well and opened up that lead a good bit there.
What's the seminal stopgap moment for you when it comes to the Clemson-South Carolina rivalry? I mean, what do you I can think of things on both sides of it. From the South Carolina aspect, I would think, number one, the ability to five bomb at times. Number two, you would probably go back to former quarterback Steve Tannehill kind of writing Cox in the midfield and the Tiger paw in that particular game. On your end of things, being a Clemson grad.
I mean, you got to go to 63-17. Like, first thing I think of right there, I was in the stadium that night as a kid, and it was pretty cool to watch that. It cleared out really early, saw a lot of aluminum in Williams-Brice that night, a set of people in seats there late in the game. That was a good one. You know, obviously the catch with Gardner early.
See, I go to the original catch.
Yeah, that's a little for my time.
Yeah, you weren't even a twinkle. Neither you nor Diesel were a twinkle in your parents' eyes at that point in time. But it was 1977, and Clemson goes down to Columbia, and they are 7-2-1. They're going to their first bowl game in quite some time. Charlie Pell's the head coach. Clemson gets up to, I believe, a 24-0 lead. And the route is on. The next thing you know, Jim Carlin and the Gamecocks, they respond with 27 unanswered points. You know, Charlie Pell had a tradition with the Tigers back then when they would beat, they carry it on today with Dabo Swinney. When they beat a big opponent, they give out cigars.
Yeah.
Well, South Carolina guys underneath their shoulder pads had homemade T-shirts back in the day that you could – you know, go get the, you know, letters put on it. It said no cigars today. And boy, they were over there on the sideline after one of the most unbelievable comebacks. And they left about 2 minutes for Steve Fuller. And, of course, he hits Jerry Butler. And the rest is history. I mean, Clemson at that point in time in 1977, they were an afterthought. I mean, I remember when Notre Dame came in and played. I remember playing the, I think, Maryland to 21-14 in the opener when that was a really good Maryland program back then. So, those are things I think of. And then the one that a lot of people go, well, you got to go with the fight. That's one I'd like to forget.
Jeez, that was a tough one, yeah.
Clemson won the game, but nobody won in that instance.
No, you know, both teams stayed home from bowl games. It just put a black eye on the whole thing. And if I remember correctly, this might be the anniversary of it. I want to say it was, you know, the night after the Artest fight in Indiana. And I think I saw that anniversary was like yesterday or day before. So, That was a bad scene for both sides.
That was
sure.
Before I got working in this business. Mm-hmm. And there was about four girls that were all students at the University of South Carolina that were sitting right in front of our seats. And things got real testy all over the place. And we made sure that, you know, those girls were, guess what? They were human beings. And don't take it out on them. And fortunately, calmer heads kind of prevailed later on. All right, what's your stopgap moments from the Clemson-South Carolina rivalry? What's the best in college football? Because I maintain, if it's not an in-state rivalry, it doesn't have the intensity of others. We'll go through some of these, and you can get in with us. 844-GSP-ESPN. Don't forget, former Clemson running back, current Clemson sideline reporter, Reggie Merriweather, at the top of the 5 p.m. hour. So what the FX just tweeted out 5 minutes ago, 16 people who will eventually regret all of this. There's a lady that has a long tattoo over the top of her back that says, stay strong no matter what happens. They misspell what in the tattoo. Now, would you not double check that before they put the tape down, you know, with the design on it, that they had managed to get what spelled correctly?
You think so.
This is why you don't let your cousin Bubba do your tattoos.
That's it. That's why you don't get a bottle of Jack Daniels at the kitchen table at your friend's house and go, hey, man, do some work. I've never understood that one. College football rivalries. Where do you go when you think of intensity? Obviously, we know Clemson, South Carolina has its own intensity. 116 times that the schools have gotten together now. But when you start thinking rivalries, where do you go, and am I off base when I say in-state rivalries are more intense than border wars and things of that nature? Because you don't have to live. Michigan-Ohio State's a big game this weekend, a lot riding on it. But Ohio fans don't have to live with Michiganers all year long and vice versa.
I think you're right. Just looking at, like, Clemson, Carolina, Georgia Tech, Alabama, Auburn, Texas and A&M, like, those, like, in-state rivalries seem to be really, really intense. I mean, obviously, Ohio State, Michigan, you know, Georgia, Florida, those are too. But like we said earlier, I think it's just having to be with these guys day in, day out really adds another level to it.
You miss one right there that they now try to play as often as possible on Thursday night due to what we were talking about earlier and the fact that maybe things can be a little bit more civil. But Mississippi State, Ole Miss, people have no idea the nastiness that rivalry can get into. I don't know if you remember the better part of about 10, 12 years ago, a fight broke out between the teams before anybody's security was out there on the field. And I mean, it was literally slap shot with the Hanson brothers. You know, nobody's out on the ice to do anything about this. And here were Ole Miss and Mississippi State just brawling in the middle of the field in Starkville. So, I get that. I think of Southern Cal Notre Dame this weekend. Some people will pawn that off on me as a rivalry. I think of that as a classic matchup in college football, not necessarily a rivalry. You know, I would think, and I know it, I've got some friends like Jerry Ammerman here in the upstate that's a Michigan State grad. I would think that Michigan State, when all is said and done, is more intense because both of those universities are more or less in suburbs of the Detroit area, correct? So, I mean, talking about having to live, shoot, at least Clemson and South Carolina have about 110 miles separated. You know, Georgia and Georgia Tech, 65 miles apart. Think about this. The flagship station for Georgia Tech athletics is the biggest homer station for the Georgia Bulldogs during the week of all time. So think about what Georgia Tech has to put up when it comes to that stuff. So I go with those more. You know, you mentioned Georgia, Florida. That's a but that game's also played a lot earlier in the year.
Yeah. And another one I thought about that's kind of played earlier, but it's always been a huge rivalry in my mind, and especially when I was growing up, this was a huge game. Miami, Florida State.
You know, yeah, that's on my list right here.
Played early in the year, but that was always nasty. Always had huge, you know, national title implications. I mean, now it's kind of fallen off some, but it's still a very intense game, it seems like.
And those are the ones that I like. To me, a rivalry should be more of a 50-50 situation. You know, Miami leads Florida State all time, 33 wins, 30 losses. Alabama-Auburn. Alabama leads that series, 45 wins, 36 losses, one tie. I'm not sure that anything can be more intense than what we see here in the upstate when it comes to Clemson, South Carolina. But Alabama-Auburn, I think at least those two schools have learned to back off each other a little bit and say maybe we could both hate Tennessee and Florida together because, you know, those they ratcheted up the intensity level that not only did they each get each other on probation back in the day, we saw a guy, a moron, go out and poison the legendary trees at Toomer's Corner. And again, here's a guy that got so upset about the Alabama-Auburn game, he's got to go poison landmarks with the oak trees at Toomer's Corner, yet he never stepped in a classroom at the University of Alabama one day to take a test or anything else, yet he's going to be the one that has to go poison the trees.
Yeah, those are some of the worst type of fans to me. I hate the ones that don't have anything to do with the university that, you know, want to act all big and bad when they've never been to a class there. You know, they've only gone a couple games, sure, but I mean, you know, people like myself and you, Sturge, you know, that have invested time and money and you know, going to these programs, I mean, it's a little bit different to us, you know, than these people who are from the outside.
All right, Peter Gerson he's a broadcaster for Southern Cal football and basketball and a reporter for TrojanInsider.com. Just tweets a little bit ago, a source close to the situation is telling me that Southern Cal head coach Clay Helton is coming back for next season.
Okay.
I did not think that would be the case. I thought Lynn Swann, you know, they would fancy themselves as one of the hierarchies of college football and 5-6 and potentially missing a bowl game this year. That's unacceptable. Now, they've had a lot of chaos there. You know what I mean? But come on. That's one we were talking about during one of the breaks. James Franklin, the head coach at Penn State, was having to do a little meandering of those waters when somebody asked him if there was an interest, if he had an interest in that Southern Cal job. So I can't for the life of me. That, to me, is a stunner that they would bring Clay Helton back. Either that or they don't feel like they have anybody out there that they can go approach and change things right now. Because I'm telling you, Chip Kelly – it was a slow start. They've gotten better as the year goes on. They will end up hurting Southern Cal in the long run with Clay Helton in that laid-back attitude where the defensive and offensive players almost started fighting a couple of weeks ago on the sideline.
Yeah, Helton was always a weird choice for that job to me, in all honesty. Not really sure that he fits that kind of USC attitude. You know, I've seen rumors of guys like maybe Del Rio getting that job next, things like that. So, like you said, it's a shocker to me that they're going ahead and coming out and saying that, especially, and maybe at least wait till after this week. But if he keeps that job, that would be pretty much a shock to me.
All right. Tell you what we're going to do when we come back. All right. Also, they are reporting that former Clemson quarterback Kelly Bryant has now scrapped his Miami visit and it's going back to Auburn. I maintain that can't be a good thing for Gus Malzahn. I think somewhere like North Carolina that's rebuilding and all, but I mean, that is a rent-a-quarterback situation. that must be admitting that Jarrett Stidham has had enough of Auburn and he's going to go on pro. But that I could see somewhere like in Arkansas or North Carolina that's rebuilding. I don't think this fixes Auburn football in the future moving forward if it's Auburn that he ends up at.
You know, you would think that Auburn would have somebody behind mm-hmm. Stidham that they feel very confident in.
Especially with Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, you would think they've got somebody, you know, lined up where they wouldn't want to bring in a guy for a year. So maybe that says something about the recruiting that they – or lack thereof recruiting they've done at the quarterback position. Who knows? But that – it seems hard to believe that Kelly would go to a program of that stature and would be given the keys to start – at a place like Auburn.
Like I said, you're one and done. I mean, Zion Williamson just in a completely, completely different manner. All right, when we come back, former Clemson running back Reggie Merriweather, now the sideline reporter for the Clemson broadcast crew. You know what? I wonder how upset he is. He's not in the Cayman Islands ahead of Saturday's 7 p.m. kickoff in Death Valley between the South Carolina Gamecocks, 6-4 on the year, and the 11-0 second-ranked Clemson Tigers.